I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. USC's in the Pac-12 championship game. They had to sit back on Saturday and figure out who they were going to play. And Utah, thanks to a lot of other schools and a Oregon meltdown, is now in the Pac-12 championship with a rematch against USC. Jordan Moore, sideline reporter for USC, kind enough to join us. Jordan, how are you?
Hey, Jordan.
I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, so I've got to imagine that USC, in hopes of putting together the best resume they possibly could for the college football playoff committee, were they kind of hoping it would be Utah so that they could beat Utah to say, hey, look, yeah, we lost in Salt Lake, but when we played for a conference championship, we got the win? Or would they have preferred Oregon? What were they rooting for in terms of matchups?
I mean, who knows? They never admit their deepest, darkest secrets. They'll always just say they'll play whoever's in front of them. But I certainly wanted Utah. From my perspective, I just think the narrative going in is a little bit more interesting as a revenge game for USC and a chance, as you said, to wipe off the one loss of the season, which was, you know, such a wild game to begin with. So, just sort of looking forward to part two of that game and always enjoy the matchup between USC and Utah.
What would you say is USC's best win this year?
I would say, well, that's a good question. I think the one that mattered probably the most was the one at Oregon State in terms of bringing together this team that was, I mean, Lincoln Riley went into the year and said, the hardest thing to do this year is going to be putting this team of transfers and freshmen and holdovers that weren't recruited by this staff together and have them play as a team. And I think Oregon State was that galvanizing moment because the offense played really poorly that day. Caleb, that was the one sort of dud game of the year for him. And they still found a way to gut it out in a difficult atmosphere. And the defense really did it that day. And they survived from there. They really found their stride and played pretty well. I mean, the other, truly great game was the UCLA one. But at that point, I sort of expected that to be a shootout. And, USC sort of won because Caleb was better than DTR. So, that one sort of surprised me less. But the way they just sort of kind of miraculously dug out the Oregon State one, I think, kind of set the table for the whole season.
What do you feel like went wrong for USC against Utah, and how do you feel like they'll address that going into round two?
Well, what went wrong is a guy named Dalton Kincaid. There were two issues in that game. One was Dalton Kincaid, and the other was QB run game. And I don't know what the solution necessarily is. USC has really patched it together on defense all year. It's they didn't bring in necessarily the talented transfers. They brought in some veteran guys who've really helped, but they didn't bring in like a Caleb Williams or Jordan Addison on defense. You know, there's the All-American is going to be Tuli Tuipulotu, and he's a holdover, and probably the second best player is Kalen Bullock, and he's a holdover. So, you know, it was a defense that was really struggled last year, and Alex Grinch has kind of had to make it work week in and week out, and you saw that in the Utah game. There just were not a lot of great matchups for Dalton Kincaid, and they really struggled to stop Cam Rising running the football in the sort of QB power run game on the biggest downs of the game. So, you know, those are the two issues. I imagine they will still be issues. I think the biggest thing from USC's perspective and looking at that first game and, you know, what could be different. I mean, there were two major, major things that went against USC in that game, two roughing the passer calls. One that flipped a turnover and one that would have been a punt and instead ends up as a touchdown. So, you know, there's some little things there that if they can get the breaks to go their way a little bit this time, you know, maybe that's the difference, because there was not a lot between those two teams in the first meeting.
Teach us a little bit more about Austin Jones. I'm curious because Dye was such the story when we were researching USC getting ready for that game. And I know Jones has always been around and available, but he did some amazing things the last couple of weeks where he was given 20 plus carries. Tell us a little bit more about him.
Yeah, I mean, Stanford runner. I mean, just power runner. You know, the kind of guy that you've seen from Stanford in recent years. And what's been great about him, I mean, he was kind of on ice for most of the middle of the season because Travis was so good. But the fact that he came in at this time and is a veteran, it's such a difference maker as opposed to having to turn to somebody with no experience. I mean, Austin Jones led the conference in touchdowns during the COVID season. So this is a guy who's had some real quality football behind him. And, you know, he's a power runner that's going to follow his blocks. And a real strength of this USC team is the offensive line. It's the most underrated part of this USC team. You know, they just have not gotten a lot of credit the last couple of years, but they grade out really well. And in particular, the interior of the offensive line, they dominated Notre Dame. I mean, the story coming in was, you know, Notre Dame will push USC around up front. And that just did not happen in the run game on either side of the ball.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
So, again, the obligatory dumb question is, did you see that we all anticipated that this would turn around with the coaching change? I don't think anybody anticipated it would be this quickly, but you get a high-level quarterback like Caleb Williams and a high-level wide receiver in Jordan Addison. Did you anticipate that USC would be where they are right now when those changes came?
I did not. No. I thought they'd be better, as you said. I mean, they won 4 games last year, so, you know, there were a lot of degrees of better. And so, you know, I thought maybe, you know, 9-10 win kind of team would be a phenomenal accomplishment. And it would have been. And so this is just, you know, above and beyond 11-1. And it's a credit to Lincoln Riley, no doubt, and his staff. You know, Caleb has been even more special than what we thought. We knew he was talented. But, you know, pretty sure he's going to win a Heisman Trophy, which is not something that anyone would have said going into the season. So it's pretty crazy. It's the biggest turnaround from season to season in the USC history, tying the school's record mark there. So it's about as good as it gets. And I've been here for a while, and it's pretty exciting times because it has been some lean years at USC recently.
Well, Jordan, it was spectacular how Lincoln Riley got into the transfer portal and brought in the talent that Scotty was mentioning, just filled this team with talent. And I remember getting ready for that Utah-USC game, and I went through all of the talent that was brought in and where they came from and what they were in regards to where they stood with their stats for USC and their contributions. When you look at this roster and you look at the major contributors, can you think of names that were original USC recruits, or are we looking at 80% transfer portal players making up the bulk of what USC is doing right now.
Yeah, I think the returning play. What's been amazing about this staff was, you know, a lot of new coaches in sports love to come in and basically clean house. And if the first year doesn't go well, they say, it's because the guys I inherited weren't any good. Wait until I get my guys in. And they didn't do that. Now, they brought in some of their guys. They focused on changing the culture. But they have found a role for almost every guy that came back. And that's been the biggest difference. There were a lot of guys that were talented that were just sort of languishing on this roster, you know, either misplaced or misused or underused. And they have found a role for them. And so there's, you know, as I mentioned, I mean, Tuli Tuipulotu leads the nation in sacks. He's going to be, you know, first team All-American. You know, again, he was sort of a tweener on the last staff. They couldn't really find the right position for him. And so, you know, it's a great example. Kalen Bullock, sophomore safety, is a star on this team. He has 5 interceptions, most since Adoree Jackson here. These are guys that came over from other staffs. And then you look at the receiving core, and obviously Jordan Addison's fantastic, and I think Jordan Addison, you know, deserves the publicity he's gotten. But USC didn't skip a beat without him for a month. And that's because guys like Kyle Ford and Taj Washington, you know, stepped up. And those are all guys that were already here. So there were certainly talent on this roster. Most of the offensive line are returners. And so, you know, it was never a lack of talent. You know, I think some guys left that weren't positive influences on the locker room, but the guys that stayed really were. And then they found, you know, roles for these guys to thrive in, and that's coaching.
Do you see, and you know, the point total may not hold up with, you know, 45 against UCLA and 35 against Cal, and 27 against Notre Dame, but do you feel like the defense is rounding into form a little bit coming up through the later stages on hopefully a college football playoff run for USC fans, or is it going to be kind of duct tape and baling twine the rest of the year?
I think it's a little bit more of the latter. I think this defense probably is what it is at this point, and now that the competition just sort of stays high, I'd be surprised if all of a sudden they, you know, are starting to dominate teams that have really talented offenses. I thought they played pretty well against Notre Dame. That was one of the better games of the season because they were able to take away Notre Dame's strength, which is the run game, and force Notre Dame to try to win through the pass, and ultimately, you know, got the interception that sealed it. But the turnovers have been the key for USC. I mean, that is what has saved them all season. Their turnover margin is an absurd plus 23. It's dwarfs anyone else in the country. And that was the one thing in the Utah game. They were plus one. They got that one in the red zone, but they didn't really get the turnovers that set up momentum scores and things like that. So, you know, I think that has to be the key for this defense, is to get at least 2 turnovers pretty much every game going forward, and just try to make enough plays to put the offense in position to go win it.
Well, we certainly appreciate your time. Should be a fun one coming up on Friday, and look forward to catching up with you again down the line.
I can't wait. See you guys in Vegas.
Thanks,
you got
Jordan.
It. Jordan Moore, sideline reporter for USC.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.